Good morning.
My text today is in John 8. It's John 8, verses 30 through 36. And to pick up with some of the context here, Jesus has just finished saying that he does the things that please the Father. He's been talking for a while about that. Picking up John 8, verse 30, it says, "And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed."
Amen.
So as we look over this verse, we're looking at verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So what we're going to do first is we're going to define truth, this truth that he's talking about. We're going to define freedom, and then we're going to talk and figure out how this truth gives us freedom. Because at first glance, it seems that following God's truth wouldn't give us freedom. So first of all, what is this truth that we're going to know? Is it a certain truth that Jesus is talking about, or is it just the truth in general? Looking at the context, it seems that he's just talking about salvation in general. Because the verse before, he's saying all his disciples will know the truth. And that's one thing that all disciples, no matter how much they know, anyone who is a disciple of Jesus knows the truth of the gospel. And he's saying that all the people that continue in his word will be his disciples, and they will know this truth.
Yes.
Second, what does it mean to be free? Well, I'm going to give freedom here a definition that may sound a little off, a little like it doesn't fit with this verse, but bear with me here. I'm going to say freedom is doing what you want to and not being controlled by someone else. So at first that seems like, wait a second, isn't sin doing what you want to? Isn't serving God being controlled by God? Well, no, it's not. On to section 3, how does this truth make us free? First off, sin is bondage. Without this truth, we are not free. 2 Peter 2, verses 18 through 20. This is people that walk after the flesh. It says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those who were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For if they, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." So we look at the language here. It says it's 8 words here. They escaped from them. They promised them liberty, but they're servants. If a man is overcome by them, he's brought into bondage. This is stating very clearly that the sin that people are in is bondage. It's not doing what you want to do. It's doing what sin wants to do. The devil doesn't care what you want to do. Satan isn't going to change anything that he's doing for what you want. Being in sin is being the servant of sin.
That's right.
Galatians 4, 8 and 9. "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did serve us unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" So these weak and beggarly elements, this sin, this brings people into bondage. We could go on and on and on with verses like this. Obviously, we don't have time, but sin is bondage. Sin isn't doing what you want to do. Sin is doing what Satan wants you to do. It's that simple. And Satan has got a strong foothold in telling people that what he wants them to do is what they want to do. But in truth, he doesn't care about what you want to do at all. He's not on your side.
Amen.
Next, following God is freedom. So remember how we define freedom. It was doing what you want to do, not being controlled by someone else. So Romans 6, verses 16 through 18 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Now hold up a second. I thought this truth was supposed to make us free. How are we now the servants of righteousness? We're made free from sin. Now we're the servants of righteousness. That doesn't seem like it's going up very much now, does it? Well, let me tell you. The servants of righteousness are not involuntary servants of righteousness. The servants of sin, it doesn't matter what they think. The servants of righteousness are servants of righteousness because that is their spirit. When God gives us his spirit, he gives us a part of him almost. He makes us so that we do have the spirit of God. And so when we do what we want to do, when we have freedom, we are naturally going to do the right thing because what we want to do is what God wants. For people without the Spirit of God, they really have no freedom ever, and there's no way they're going to get any because they don't have the Spirit of God, and Satan is going to control them if they don't. So they're in bondage either way. There's no way for them to get out of it. But the people who do have the Spirit of God can follow their true spirit and do what they want to and be servants to righteousness. We see in all this that this servanthood that the people of God have isn't so much of bondage as it is of love. And we go back to the age-old picture that God keeps bringing up of men and women. The wife is supposed to serve the husband, and the husband is supposed to protect the wife. The wife isn't in bondage to her husband. The wife wants to serve her husband because she loves him. And likewise, the husband wants to protect his wife because he loves her. And in the same way, it's not bondage when we serve God. It's love because we have God's Spirit in us. Amen. Romans 7:16 says, If then I do which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. If I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but that sin that dwelleth in me. Yet I find a law then, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight after the law of God, after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So Paul in all this is saying that there's a war going on between the two spirits that are inside him. There's the flesh and there's the spirit. Obviously we all know these things. But it's good to bring it up here because it shows that Paul's language he uses, the good things that he wants to do, those are the things he wants to do. The true man inside of Paul wants to do God's work, but it's the flesh in him that's warring against that wants to go after sin. Now that's an important point here. We need to remember that when we feel like sinning, that's not us. That's the flesh in us, because we've been changed. We have the Spirit of God. It's just the flesh that's still hanging around that's trying to do the opposite of what we want to do. He wants to bring us into a bondage again. Another thing in Romans 8, verses 14 through 17, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. So the relationship we have with God is not one of bondage, it's one of adoption. It's one of a father and his child. It's one of the son doing the will of the father because he loves the father.
Amen.
Even more than that, in verse 17 of Romans 8, it says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we were in bondage to God, why would he make us his heirs? Why would he promise us all these things? Why would he do things for us? If we were just the servants of God, why would Jesus stoop and wash the feet of the disciples? That doesn't make any sense. We see that we do serve God. We are the servants of righteousness. But we aren't in bondage to God. Because when we are serving righteousness, we're doing what our spirit wants to. And that's just an incredible thing that we can have freedom. We can do what our spirit wants to and still do righteousness because God gave us his spirit. And so I guess that's kind of the main point here, is that when God gave us his spirit, he made it so that it was that doing righteousness was the thing we wanted to. It's freedom to do God's work. And it's always bondage to do Satan's work. So I guess the three main things to take away. First off, the truth makes free. The truth is the one that makes us free. The second is following Satan is never freedom. Satan doesn't care what you want to do. Following Satan is following Satan. It's not following yourself. And finally, doing what we want to do when we have the Spirit is righteousness. That is our natural state. You guys have comments or corrections?
I really like the way, one of my takeaways, it's one or the other. Mm-hmm. You have to choose. By not choosing Christ, you chose to save him. Mm-hmm. And I think that we always need to remember that. But the other thing is, if you're trusted in our lifestyle, the amount of time you spend with God, the amount of time you spend with brethren, where we choose to put our time and effort, mm-hmm. it says who we have chosen.
Yes.
I like that.
Amen.
This matter of not being controlled by God, I think we have to be careful how we talk about that. The control isn't a Bible word, for one thing. That's not, you know, that's so that. But anyhow, we are led by the Spirit. See, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. I quoted this, you know, they are the sons of God, and that leading of the Spirit is not like leading me to do this and leading me to do that, you know, and like the Lord led me to go to this store and to go on vacation and things like that. The leading of the Spirit has to do with the mortifying of the deeds of the body. So that's what the Spirit is. Actually, the leading of the Spirit is he's leading all of the children of God in the same way. He's leading them to put to death the sinful deeds of the body. That's the context in the context of Romans 8 there. So, mm-hmm. And this matter of, you know, we're not in bondage. We're not in bondage to God, but we are like God's servants. You know, Paul, he, almost all the apostles referred to themselves as being as servants of God or bond servants. They were, but it was a bond of love. You know, as you pointed out, Brother Evan, it was good. But we were made to be, in a sense, we were made to be servants. You know, even in the world to come. Remember, it says in Revelation 22, there it says, "And his servants shall serve him." So there's a sense in which servants are used in a slavish type way, and that's what you were pointing out, that we're not servants in a slavish type way. You know, we're not like being brought into bondage again, but we are. There is a liberty in this servitude that we have. There is liberty, as you were pointing out, but it is a servitude that is. It's definitely a servitude to God. So,
amen.
Yeah. So we're
amen.
With God.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have made that clear. When I was saying we aren't being controlled, I don't mean that what God wants and what God is showing us to do has no influence over us. Obviously not. The point was that we have God's Spirit. So our true man does want to do what God has us to do.
Brother Alroy brought out a good point that I make to think about. It's as a marriage. I serve my wife because I love her. I serve the brethren because I love them. I'm not in bondage to them, but I'm a part of them. Christ is dwelling within us, and we're all dwelling within God. So this servitude, this Jesus told his disciples, I'm leaving this example. I am your master. Yeah, I serve you. And you know that I'm going to wash your feet. So we see that Jesus was not in bondage to the disciples. He did that out of love. And that point that he was making about bondage to sin, it brought to mind John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already.
Amen.
Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Mm-hmm. So those who are not serving God, they're already condemned. They're already in bondage. But it's when that liberty comes in, when you believe on the Son of God, that's when you're not condemned. Because a prisoner, somebody who's in bondage, they're condemned. But a free man is not condemned.
Second Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The truth makes us free to serve God without fear, because he arms us against the spirit of fear.
Amen.
He gives us the spirit of fear. And this freedom consists of power, love, and sound mind. This truth breaks the fear to walk more perfectly before God. We don't have a fear of man. We don't have a fear of, things ahead, because he hasn't given us that fear. We're able to serve him. Unlike the evil servant that buried his talent.
Comment about inheritance. If I leave something to somebody, it's either a friend or it's family. It's not some bond person to me, it's a friend or family. I just kind of like your example.
Our present condition is much like the Israelites in the wilderness, is also like the Israelites in Canaan, but in the wilderness they were free from Egypt, but they weren't yet free from the wilderness. Mm-hmm. So we're free in the Son, in the truth, in the Spirit. We're not yet free from the fight and from mortifying the flesh.
Amen.
And from putting off the deeds of the body and from casting down thoughts. But we're growing into freedom.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
The flesh is still in bondage to sin. But why would we want to listen to that? That's in bondage. Why would we want to go back to that?
Whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, because the seed is in him. So even though those two things are coexistent in our tenure here, yet we identify more prominently with that which is from above, and that is that's our help, that's grace to help.
Amen. 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 And in that connection with Brother Dan and Brother Aaron were saying, and you in connection with your text, remember Jesus said in that your original John 8 text that he that committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. So I'll just tell you, you've got to, that if you think, you've got to see that clearly, because otherwise, the devil is going to try to work on you with that. But see, here's the connection. Now, if any man say that he does that he has no sin. He deceives himself, and the truth is not in him. See, but whoso abideth in him sinneth not. So our safety is abiding in Christ. So as we're abiding in Christ, the same is true of us as true of Christ. See, he's the one who's abiding in the house forever, and as we abide in him, we're abiding in the house forever too. So
another verse that says, as he is, so are we in the world.
Amen.
Their identification.
Amen.
I went pre-born, what Brother Dan said, the pre-born, not the son of the bondwoman, but the son of the free. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus was saying, whoever sins is the servant of sin, and the Son will make you free, you should be free indeed, he's talking about being free from sin. Mm-hmm. The way some people talk about sin, it sounds like you're still in bondage to sin. Mm-hmm. They talk about it like we just sin in thought, word, and deed every day. But Jesus said, you shall be free indeed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to give in to sin. We can say no to sin. We are at liberty to do that. The sin shall not have dominion over you. But you're not under the law, but under grace.
Amen.
Reminds me of that parable Jesus is talking about. No one can take the goods of the strong man, especially not the goods themselves. No one can rob the strong man, especially not the strong man's stuff. That's just ridiculous. No one could take the souls from Satan that he was holding in bondage, except for someone stronger than him. And that's certainly not us. One more note on the text. When it says the truth shall make us free, something I was thinking about was, is it talking about free from the law? Well, it's obviously true that the truth makes us free from the law. But I was thinking in this verse particular, it makes more sense to think of it as freedom from sin because of the parable Jesus said, or of the answer Jesus says later when he says, whosoever sins is the servant of sin. So it is true that the truth makes us free from the law and we can live under grace now. But this verse in particular is talking about being free from sin.
He said that he would grant us unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life.
Amen.
And that's what the Messiah did for us. He set us free and took us in. And we serve him without fear. We come boldly before the throne of grace. We do, like you said in the beginning, we do exactly what we want to do.
Amen.
He's changed our heart. And our servants shall be willing in the day of our God.
Amen.
Amen. We serve not against our will.
Yeah.
I'd like to comment at the end about how if we were in bondage in a slavish way, why would we be given all of these great things? And the great things eternal, freedom from sin, you can go on and on down the flip side of that. Satan and sin have only taken and have robbed us and the kingdom of oh so much.
Yes, amen.
And when you think about sin, you think, oh, well, the sin gives you a little bit of satisfaction for a minute. You know what that satisfaction is for? It's to keep you coming back for more. It's not because the devil cares about you or something.
Yeah.
It's for a season. It's only for a season.
Thank you guys very much for your comments.